This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
I want to watch a clip of her coming out of court the other day. There's a couple things I want us to take a look at, so we might even watch it twice. Let's first watch Karen, and then I want to rewatch it with you again, and we'll pay closer attention to her attorneys who are standing behind her and the reactions that they're giving to Karen speaking aloud. This was one of the more, I would say, probably foolish moments of Karen Reed in the last, probably most of the trial, where she's come out and made her statements on the steps out there in the morning. So let's go over to that. That's Karen Reed Vodka. Here it is. This is the one we want. This is her coming out of court the day.
Dr. Welch's recreations were good with the test tummy and the glancing glow.
And the grease paint on his arm? No.
Karen, did you?
And he backed up into himself at 2.2 or something miles per hour. So he tried to dress identically to John, but didn't do anything else to mimic what the Commonwealth is accusing me of.
So did you go?
I want to stop it there for a moment. What's your reactions to that? So she's immediately disparaging the grease paint thing, which I thought was kind of interesting. I'm not an expert in that, so I don't know how scientific that is. But it was kind of stunning to see exactly how a man of that stature and size would have been impacted by a vehicle. And then she's immediately dismissing the very detailed testimony that was given by Judson Welcher in the case, just showing all of the stats that were done to come to the very specific numbers that he did. And she's, 2.2 or something? Just very much nonchalant, as if there's absolutely nothing to it. Obviously, again, yes, she is fighting for her life. How much of this is show for Karen Reed, you think? And how much of this is her just really trying to, she knows the writing's on the wall and she's really got to spin the story?
Her affect in as she's talking about this mm-hmm. is, it just feels off to me. And it's hard for me to say exactly what it is about it, mm-hmm. but there's almost a glib quality, I guess, is how I'd put it, and how she's communicating here. And again, it's one of these subtleties about the way she presents herself. Mm-hmm. I think that it doesn't work in her favor. And clearly she's got her story and she's sticking to it. And I guess it's the almost snide making fun of, the witness. It comes off weird.
It comes off to me like girls in high school. Where they're just, whatever. It just mm-hmm. glib, there's nothing in the world beyond them at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. And Karen very much still seems to be there. Even though we're talking about her boyfriend and his death and an expert, again, who has nothing in the fight. I know they're trying to bring up today, well, you got paid. Yes, expert witnesses get paid. That's how that works. There's nothing shocking about that as much as Alessi would like to try and
do.
Make that.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. that is how that works. And based on the expertise, they're getting paid a going rate because mm-hmm. they're competing with other expert witnesses to get the business. So that's normal. Let's watch a little bit more of her tone here on the court steps and some very interesting questions that are about to be asked.
So in reverse, 24 miles an hour, 53 feet?
The data is what the data is, and it's going to come out cleanly, more cleanly, in our case in chief. I think it's important to demonstrate what is the Commonwealth accusing me of? The speed, the positioning, recreate that for us. Back up into the crash test dummy at 24.2 miles an hour in the arm and see what happens. That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall?
So because they didn't do a crash test dummy and they actually put a human being there and did it at a slower pace so you can make sure you're at an angle where it was likely a strike that would, or how to explain the strike took place, do the crash test dummy. What I thought was even more damning though right there was the data is what the data is. Mm-hmm. That was an interesting admission by Karen Reed, because she's been saying, and she will contradict herself here in a second, don't worry. But she has been saying, I didn't back up. That was her story. Obviously, that's not true. There's no disputing that you backed up, Karen. That is just part of it. But the data is what the data is. So that's her answer when she's been put into the corner. Thoughts on that piece?
That surprised me when I watched that last night. And again, the story has changed so often, but there's always that self-serving quality to whatever the story is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're all capable. In fact, most of us at most of the time create stories to explain things that happen in our lives where we are the good guy. And other people, it's a human thing. We're good at externalizing blame and, you know, putting the fault at someone else. I know my biggest crime has probably been speeding tickets. And as I've gotten older, I've definitely slowed down. But, you know, there was always a reason in my mind. Well, I was in a hurry. I had to, you know, blah, blah, blah. I had this, I had that, or I wasn't going that fast. Or the worst thing was, well, I don't think it was fair that they had that hidden camera up there. So, you know, I think it's a human tendency to do that, but some people are really good at it and really double down despite evidence otherwise.
And that's the thing. I mean, when you did that, you knew you were in the wrong. I mean, you were like, you know, like, I wish I wasn't. Like, you're trying to just juggle it in your mind and justify, well, this is why I did it. I know I'm in the wrong, but this is why I did it.
I paid the fine. Yes. I didn't go before the judge and try to argue it. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's not what's happening here, though. This is, I'm going to just theoretically say, I know I did this, and it's not a speeding ticket. It's killing someone. And then beyond that, going out and creating this chaos that the attorneys drummed up from the mystery man that came and told them, look into the people in the house. And then suddenly there's this expedition to ruin the lives of many, many, many people, including first responders getting harassed.
Yeah.
We're up to like 50 some people who have to be in on this theory of he got beat up in the house, and to still be doubling down. And I'm saying that she's going to go out there and go, I did it. But to be doing this, I mean, this is like, it's kind of spooky vile that someone would continue to, she's beyond doubled. She, I don't even know what would be for thousands of times at this point.
Yeah.
That's a weird thing to me. That is she believing this at this point, even though she said it 50 other ways and it seems that she has acknowledged it? Or is she just that? Is it like kryptonite? Like just getting to the truth and admitting the truth to yourself or saying it aloud for other people to hear, and then, well, your image is screwed. But it's gotten far worse with everything. What do you think is going on in her mind about, let's again assume the reality that she hit him?
This is the thing that makes us think of a narcissistic tendency, because a person like that who has narcissistic tendencies will protect their self-image and their public image at all costs, despite any evidence to, you know, the contrary. And it has that feeling to it because it is so extreme. And then that tendency to blame everyone else with vigor, you know, that's what I think, again, it just gives this a flavor of something that's really odd.
Yeah, it is very odd. There's a little bit more to it, and there's another piece we'll talk about here. It was a lot in the course of like 60 seconds. Let's continue on. Hear more. Back it up for a second.
That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall that at all, Karen?
Because it didn't happen.
Okay, there she goes again. There was a reporter saying, do you recall that at all? Referring to, do you recall backing up into John O'Keefe? And there she goes again saying, no, it didn't happen. Even though 30 seconds earlier, she said the data is what the data is.
Mm-hmm. What? And you notice, you notice the smile at that point. It's like, okay, I'm not one of the folks that believes every little micro expression people have on their face carries the truth or any particular meaning. But the smile is a bit odd. Another thing that feels off, why would you smile at that point? Mm-hmm. And so it makes me think again that, you know, does she consciously know this, or is this part of her tendency, something that she's really good at, which is misperceiving, depending on what fits her benefit at any given moment?
Yeah, she doesn't seem to know how to read the room and respond accordingly. I don't know what, I mean, the appropriate response, like if you're going to go and say these things, which is just stupid to begin with, but if you're going to go and say these things, I would think you'd be a little more stoic of, you know, you're fighting for your life, not, right. I don't know.
Right.
And it gets more laughy here in just a second.
Any update on if you're calling Proctor, given that his friends are now witnesses on your list?
No comments. Karen, who are these four new witnesses? Can you say anything about them?
What no comments.
Testify to? Are you going to take the stand?
No comments.
No comments.
So her attorneys stepped in there finally when they're asking about Proctor, and the other one says, no comment, no comment. They got her really quick, got the reporters really quick, and I think that cued her to shut up. But then are you thinking you're going to take the stand? And that becomes a real jokey mode right there. Not a no comment. It's a no comment.
That's the weird, again, the weirdest part is the I can't remember how you put it a minute ago, but this socially not reading the room and not getting how are you giggling through this conversation? It's very odd.
Is it, I mean, are these just really, I feel like on Alan Jackson's face there, this looks like just a really uncomfortable smile. On hers, it looks a little more genuine. Like everyone's looking at me. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's two very different things going on in those two very different minds at that moment in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would think the attorney is saying, "Oh shit,
yeah.
You know, we've got to stop this because she gets herself in more trouble the more she talks."
I don't know that they have control over her. I don't know any other way to explain it. I want to watch it one more time. This time, we'll play it all the way through, and we'll talk about the attorney's reactions a little bit more once we see the whole thing. Watch Alessi as well. He seems to have one of the more uncomfortable fake smiles as he comes out of the courtroom, and he'll be standing right behind her. Notice his mouth through it. We'll break it down here in a second.
Dr. Welch's recreations were good with the test tummy and the glancing glow.
And the grease paint on his arm? No.
Look at that smile.
And he backed up into himself at 2.2 or something miles per hour. So he tried to dress identically to John, but didn't do anything else to mimic what the Commonwealth is accusing me of.
So did you go in reverse 24 miles an hour, 53 feet?
The data is what the data is, and it's going to come out cleanly, more cleanly in our case in chief. I think it's important to demonstrate what is the Commonwealth accusing me of? The speed, the positioning, recreate that for us. Back up into the crash test dummy at 24.2 miles an hour in the arm and see what happens. That's what I would want to see if I were you.
Do you recall that at all?
Because it didn't happen. Any update on if you're calling Proctor, given that his friends are now witnesses on your list?
No comments. Derek, who are these four new witnesses? Can you say anything about them?
What no comments.
Testify to? Are you going to take the stand?
No comments.
No comments. Sorry.
Oh, how silly. You're following what your attorney has been suggesting you do for all along.
Yeah, he looks uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm obviously not a body language expert. I know you're not either, but just watching Alessi back there, I'd be curious to like hear from one to like, because there was a lot of weird lip movements there and a lot of twitching, a lot of itching.
This was interesting. It's sort of like, stop it, you know?
It looked like he had his mouth open because he was kind of like, almost like he was ready to try and interject if he had to at any moment. It's like if you're a parent and your kid's, you know, doing something for the first time, especially when they're little, and there's a chance they could injure themselves. You're just kind of like, you're just ready to jump in really quick, like, oh, you're not going to fall off the bridge. Yeah. Not if you're watching, not if you should be walking over a tall bridge with your children, that could fall. But I think my parents did a few times, but that was the 80s. But yeah, just a very, very uncomfortable moment there. Mm-hmm. Again, for everybody in the room.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.